Today's episode of the Chromecast is brought to you by Visor for Chromebooks. You'll want to listen to this if you use PowerSchool's student information system and have Chromebooks. Visor for Chromebooks is a Chromebook management solution, and it seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and PowerSchool. With Visor for Chromebooks, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and automate processes for lost or stolen devices, such as notifying parents and remotely disabling the device. So ditch those clunky spreadsheets and do a Google search right now for Visor for Chromebooks. That's V-I-Z-O-R for Chromebooks. Welcome to the Chromecast, the official podcast from Chrome Unboxed, where we unpack everything from hardware to software in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS so that you can be more informed on all the latest updates, changes, and devices. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Chromecast. My name is Joe Humphrey, and I am joined here today by Gabriel Bringers.
Good day.
And Robbie Payne.
Hey, what's up, guys?
So we are doing a test run of our video setup, and I already feel like it just feels weird. We have a light
in different.
Here.
Yeah.
We have cameras pointed at us.
It's usually moody.
I have to do
it's
like
kind of dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we don't turn yeah, these like overhead
chill
lights
in here. Definitely.
Usually,
yeah. Yeah, this is a different vibe in here for sure right now.
Yeah, it's bright.
But I think once we get it all set up, we had to delay a little bit because I ordered the wrong adapter. I didn't technically order the wrong adapter. I ordered a two-pack of what I thought was the same thing, which typically two-packs are, but this was not the case.
Perfect example. I bought some cheese at Sam's a couple days ago, and you know they can't buy anything small at Sam's, so it's the 1 pound pack of cheese that's two. You know, you buy two and has a little handle, holds them. This would be the equivalent of if I got that and got home and was like, oh, one bag is cheese, the other is beer. Like,
exactly.
That's kind of what happened here. Maybe not that far off.
Those two things like, work better together than what Joe bought, though.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's just like I ordered one. One was the Sony, the other one was Nikon. And yeah. So, did not work.
Which is so weird because you rarely have people that are living in both of those camps.
I don't have an explanation for it. So, anywho. We're still waiting on one adapter, so we only have one tight shot on the guys.
It was a two-pack.
It was a two-pack.
It was two things.
There were two things included. It was not two of the
things. It's not just that, though. I mean, there's a lot of technical wizardry going on here. Joe spent a lot of time getting all this set up, so this was a work in progress.
It is, and you know, at the end of the day, I'm grateful for my audio-video background. I got started doing DJ work with my uncle, DJing weddings and stuff. And
DJ Joe.
And
DJ Joey Rockets.
I used to be, my dad's nickname is Bumpy, so I was Lil Bump.
DJ Lil Bump. I like that.
That fits.
Wow.
Really late 90s.
Lil Bump.
Yeah, Lil Bump.
It's Bump.
But I got started doing that stuff, and then I transitioned to like video streaming. I was working with like a video streaming company, and so all of this kind of is the culmination of all of that, kind of.
Sure.
So, but the audio stuff has just been a bit weird, and I didn't realize that I needed to change the line input. Well, it was set to a mic input on the switcher, and I had to change it to a line input.
Yeah,
very different, folks, in case you were wondering.
Impedance differences there, and there's just a lot of stuff that goes into analog audio.
Yeah, it's
stuff that if you don't know what you're doing, sometimes you just gotta turn knobs and plug things in and just kind of guess a little bit.
Yeah, and so we had tried one way, it wasn't working. We had to get some different audio equipment, whatever. All of this to say, it's working. We're doing a test run right now. I need the other camera set up, but we'll get that hopefully
and
today.
New desk is coming.
We have a new desk coming. I will tease that just a little bit. It is going to be epic. We're going to use it for two things. We're going to do a podcast setup with it, but we're also going to do like an ultimate desk setup.
Right.
It's
because we have the ultimate chair to go with the ultimate desk.
And we have a ridiculous arm that hooks two monitors up.
Big bionic arm. Yeah.
It's going to be like, hey, if you like Chromebooks and you want to make a crazy desk setup, here's one.
Yeah. So we're on the second floor of this building, and our UPS guy is so cool. Like he's really awesome. Like he's a guy we would be friends with.
He'll never listen to this. This would not be his shtick. But in the event that somehow, Jody, you're listening, we love you.
Yeah, he's not talking to me right now because this chair literally... How much would you guess it weighs?
75, 80 pounds.
I was going to say it's probably pushing 100.
I would say close to 100.
But it's also in a big box, so it's awkward. And it's not... Tightly condensed.
He was breathing a little heavy when he got to the top of the stairs with
He rolled the dolly up step by step. Like, I kind of heard it and I was like, what is that sound? And then Jody comes huffing and puffing around the corner, like, here's this.
Sorry.
I'm like, what even is that?
Sorry, dude.
It was supposed to be delivered, 3 months ago?
3 months ago.
Forgot about it.
Yeah. So, I'm guessing they must be doing well. They have a line of Marvel chairs, which is really cool. And everything they have is backward, but we're going to get that bad boy. I'm going to break it out today and start. I'm assuming it's going to take me at least the weekend to assemble it, but it's going to be cool.
We were taking wagers last night. Like, how long do you think it's going to be before he breaks into it and puts it together? We can't share our wagers with you. So
no. It's going to be a task, I think. So
I have a phone call at 3, and then whatever time we get done here and eat lunch. So if I can get it done in that window.
Yeah, that'll be pretty good.
It might be tomorrow.
That'll be pretty good.
I shouldn't have said anything about the...
Yeah, wages. Now he's going to do it.
Now
I'm going to wait like 2 weeks.
You ruined it. You literally ruined it.
I did. I'm not a gambler.
No.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You just tipped him off.
Terrible.
Now our bet's off. Bet is done. Good job, Robbie.
We didn't even bet anything.
We didn't bet anything. Video is running. I'm trying to figure out how to switch, and as we got started here, I realized I need a different monitor, or we need a larger monitor here so that I can see the video output and make sure that's good, but I can also see GarageBand.
There's a 50-inch television sitting beside you. Use that.
About putting one down in front of you so that
reference monitor. I'm just hoping that the audio is good.
Would the 19-inch, would that be?
Yeah, we're thinking about maybe putting that one down there. So, we'll see. I don't know. This is a test. We'll probably edit down a little section of this and throw it up to our patrons.
We need to visit Leo Laporte's studio and see exactly
how
the
other
stuff.
I would love to.
I mean, they have giant television cameras, but still.
Like, that's what I want, though. I literally want this to become like a legit studio setup.
We're going to need a bigger room.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're already talking
about
that.
One of those camera rigs would take up half of this room.
Dude, easily. Easily.
Well, and the cool part of this is, like, you know, people are used to seeing the huge, you know, camera, the TV cameras and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you watch football at all this year, you realize, like, the on-the-field guys started carrying their A7Rs, right, I think. But a very similar camera to
the main shot right there,
the big shot that we have here, and it's our main camera now. And so you'll just notice immediately, like, there's this richness and vibrancy that these cameras carry, and they look amazing on the field and so much more cinematic and cool looking. And it's in a camera that you can, you know, hold in the palm of your hand versus this big rig that needs wheels and stuff. And so it's like, it's really cool to think where tech has come and camera technology and all this stuff, that you don't need these huge, massive arrays to pull off a really good looking show and good looking video. So.
And it's a lot of its lighting and kind of set design and different things. And yeah, I mean, the NFL stuff is super cool just because they could run around with a gimbal now. You know, and it's so much lighter. They don't have these huge rigs, and the shots look so cool.
Oh man!
Well, if you've noticed, jarring.
It switches between.
It's a different look. Like, it's super bokeh.
Yeah.
Like the down on the field stuff when they're like following.
Oh, yeah.
Like right next to
someone. And the
colors
are rich, and there's all this bokeh, and it's just cinematic and cool looking. And then they switch back to a TV camera, and you're like, no. But I get it.
That's
like
how we've become acclimated to live sports looking that
right.
way, though,
and,
is
and
why.
And it needs to. Like, they have to have the thing wide open so that they can catch all the frames and see, you know, action doesn't look choppy and muddy and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's just part of at least sports television cameras. But it is cool for them to chop in those more cinematic looks. And, you know, I think it honestly looks like you're watching, like, Madden or something, like a cut scene from a Madden video game.
Or it looks like the promo things they do when they, like, when, you know, if you're on social media and see, like, the little, like, behind-the-scenes kind of, like, promo. Right. So it feels that way. It's really engaging, I think.
I remember the first time I saw it in a game, I was like, whoa. What just happened? Why does it look like that? I thought they were digitally doing it. I thought they were just...
It looks like that almost,
Because it's so different. Like, the cameras you see, unless they're really zoomed in tight from one of the TV cameras, you don't get a whole lot of bokeh. Because, again, their aperture is just wide open, you know, and they're catching everything. And I get it. Only nerdy people probably are ever going to pick up on this kind of stuff. And be like, but I saw, like, Twitter was even lit up a little bit of people just going, like, why does that look so cool? I don't even... They don't know what it is. They just... no, it looks neat. And so it's just interesting to see just the evolution of, you know, not necessarily broadcast, but, you know, just media, video media, and what you can do live and what we can do. Like, we're in what would amount to a big closet right now.
Pretty much.
I mean, this would be a big walk-in closet in a nice home. It's about the size of this room. And, you know, we're pulling off a multi-camera live switching audio thing right now with stuff that we've put together and figured out and learned.
We assume we are. We can't see anything that Joe's doing, so he might be playing Pac-Man over there, honestly.
It looks good. It looks good. So
like, there's this cool little switcher. And it's just neat.
It's really neat.
And, you know, a year from now, we'll look back and be like, remember when we were doing it that way? And what's this thing?
Amateurs.
It's going to take some getting used to, like, already. I'm kind of playing around with it right now, but, you know, it's going to take some getting used to, like, anticipating changes, I think. Like, when you're live switching, that's something that, you know, broadcast studios get really good at.
Right.
Because you have to know where you're headed, so.
Yeah, it's.
We may have to start.
I find myself
loosely,
like,
scripting things.
No, that's not going to happen.
It's whatever.
You started scripting YouTube videos. It's enough.
Yeah. That's enough structure for us, please. So that's that. We're working on this. I hope that this is going to be something cool that we'll be able to roll out soon. I know I keep saying that, but stay tuned. This is we're getting really close. So
yeah, this is very much closer to an end product than it was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so. And it's looking really good. It sounds really good. We figured out some of the audio stuff yesterday. There's a delay for some reason, so we had to adjust for that. And you know, little detail things that you don't think about whenever you're just like, oh yeah, let's just plug it all up and it'll work. But it's getting there. So yeah, stay tuned. So let's talk about one other quick thing that's kind of a housekeeping thing, and we'll lead into some other stuff I want to talk about. We have a new giveaway. People love giveaways. We got a new one. We're trying to do more giveaways in 2021. That's like one of my things I want to do, is a giveaway a month minimum is the goal.
We've got a good start.
So we have a very good start. And this one is cool because it's part of a video. It's part of a sponsorship that we did with Western Digital, which I love. Like, anytime that we can do a sponsored video, but a giveaway is tied to it, that just, that makes it, I don't know. I like that. I like doing that. I want to do that as much as possible. It's like, hey, this is sponsored. Like, yeah, like, we were compensated for doing this, but hey, there's something in it for you too.
Sure.
You know, you're going to get something out of this as well. And so, we're giving away some hard drives. There's three of them. There's a 5 terabyte, a 2 terabyte, and a 2 terabyte. So I don't want to say these are older. They're not necessarily older. It's a current product. It's just not their top of the line product. Let's just say.
Yeah, and it's not their latest.
Not their latest
thing.
Gen type thing.
So not a Thunderbolt.
Yeah, it is using USB-A. You know, and they sent us this thing that it's. I forget the type of connector.
It's USB 3.2.
3.2 super something.
It's about as fast as you're going to get over that kind of connection without getting Thunderbolt in the mix. So you're not getting that. What's Thunderbolt do? Like 5?
Ridiculous stuff.
Gig per second.
I believe it's 10
and then
now.
It goes 10. And then I think Thunderbolt, one of them goes up to like 30. It's not that. Yeah. We've got a couple of those Thunderbolt drives. And, you know, it's not as fast. But again, when I didn't compare it, I didn't notice it until I put them side by side. And so, again, for a free drive, just to expand some storage, throw some stuff on, keep it.
Yeah, and your average Chromebook user is used to using. I mean, you're walking around with a flash drive or a micro SD card or something. You're not gonna notice.
Yeah, this is a little thing that'll fit in the pocket in your backpack or your, you know, bag or whatever, and just some expandable storage.
Yeah.
Again, you get it for free.
And
worst
it's free.
Case, so. Worst case, you didn't pay anything for it anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That we'll link that. It's part of our Works with Chromebook video that we did as part of the partnership or sponsorship with Western Digital. We'll make sure to link that. Go get entered to win. More giveaways coming 2021. One giveaway a month. That's the goal.
At least.
Okay.
So let's do it. But let's talk about that video and what Works with Chromebook is, because I think more and more people are probably going to start seeing that logo and that branding out and about, whether you're at a Best Buy or Walmart or whatever. You're going to start seeing things that have that little Works with Chromebook sticker. And obviously, it's a little bit self-explanatory. Like, oh, it works with Chromebook. Cool. But, I mean, it's a whole thing. Like, it's a whole kind of certification that Google is doing to help people. Like,
when did it, like, it was like a year ago, wasn't it?
It's been over a year ago when they first started talking about it, and then
we got a hold of
showed up at Best Buy.
Yeah, we came across that Anchor PD thing, the little charger, and they'd slap that sticker on there.
Yep.
And Yeah, and so I mean, it's been a long kind of work in progress, and so now you're starting to see stuff ship with it's not a sticker affixed to it; it's actually part of their packaging now. And so,
yeah, I think the first one, the Logitech, was the first one to have actually branded packaging.
Yeah, or one of the first
the mouse
ones.
And the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and so, I mean, it's anything that has that sticker on it, like apart from you know, making sure that your ports line up. You know, we point that out in the video. Like, yes, if this is a USB Type A device that works with Chromebook and you don't have any USB Type A ports, you're going to need something to convert.
Work.
It will work.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to have to convert it.
Yeah. Right. There's going to be a conversion that's necessary. So apart from that, though, like there are no caveats here. There's no like, oh, well, as long as it's this, you know, processor or that processor, like this stuff just works. And that's not that shocking. I mean, over the years that we've been doing this, a lot of times people are, you know, well, can this, is there one of these that works? It's like, probably most of them work.
Yeah.
You know, whatever thing you're talking about,
just plug it in
and see what happens. There's a good chance it's going to just
work. Yeah, and that's why this initiative should take off and snowball pretty quickly, because a lot of these manufacturers aren't having to retrofit these things to work with Chrome OS. All they have to do is take the time and research to plug it into a Chromebook. Does it work and do everything that the manufacturer intended it to do? Yes. Great. Put a sticker on it. I mean, it's not...
And it seems Google has at least created for these manufacturers a few tests, mm-hmm. to say, hey, look, it's got to pass this stuff to be, you know, certified. Once it's certified, then you just kind of know, like, this is a thing that works with Chromebooks. And again, that doesn't mean that those are the only things that work with Chromebooks. And it also doesn't mean that they only work with Chromebooks. These are not accessories that were made to only function with a Chromebook.
Right. I mean, an Apple Magic Trackpad, which I was using one the other day, works with a Chromebook. Apple's not going to put a works with Chromebook sticker on their stuff.
Should.
That doesn't would be a
mean,
stretch.
I mean, we have in the past recommended people that want, you can't find trackpads. You can't really find
Nobody
trackpads
really makes
in
them.
General, but to find one that works with a Chromebook, if you want our recommendation,
dude.
If you can find the Logitech one?
T650.
For less than $200, yeah. Buy it. If not, buy an Apple Magic Trackpad, because it works.
Well, and we've done videos about this, too.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
We've shown people, like, look, it works. Here's the gestures working. Here's this.
Right.
Here's it getting paired up.
And the reason it does so is not because Chrome OS is like some sort of magic. It's because someone along the chain, you know, decided, hey, we think we want to pull some drivers in and make this thing work in Chromebooks. And so Chromebooks aren't different than Windows. It's not like they don't have any drivers and things just magically work because of USB. It's because those drivers and the functionality is brought in. Like, I remember there were certain Chromebooks with the T650 from Logitech that I used every day. It was like part of my desktop setup. And I would review a new Chromebook, the HP Chromebook 13G1. I remember getting it in, being so excited and messing around with it and plugging my dock in, and the trackpad worked. It moved the mouse around, but it didn't actually like do any of the gestures. Like, it couldn't recognize anything. And I was like, what the heck? You know, this is just works with Chromebooks, but not necessarily, because it needs the drivers to actually, you know, take it from just taking the input to actually converting that into what Chrome OS needs. And so, you know, there were reports about it and stuff, and you know, there were bug reports and all this kind of stuff, and they were like, hey, we're not sure if we're going to keep carrying these drivers, and they decided to, and I'm assuming those drivers keep getting carried forward, but at some point they can drop those off.
Right.
A thing that is made works with Chromebook, that's something you shouldn't have to worry about. We shouldn't have to worry about like, oh, those drivers are going to get deprecated and dropped, you know. That's,
yeah, because for the certified. Most part, I'm sure they're using just industry standards for the interactions between the device and the peripheral. So,
and that's, I mean, it brings up a whole different conversation that may not even be worth having, but with like Bridge, for instance, they made a really nice trackpad. Originally, they were trying to make that thing have haptics just like Apple's. And, you know, they were trying to do something that no one else had done yet, which would eventually, had it worked out and had they made it and got it working, that could have been a device that is technically certified, works with Chromebook, and would do what Gabe was just saying. It would carry all of the industry standard stuff for Chromebooks, and you don't have to worry about, oh, did the drivers get carried along? Because there wouldn't necessarily be drivers that way, because they wanted to create, over Bluetooth, a way for it to pass controls directly to Chrome OS, just like a hardwired trackpad that's on your Chromebook. And they were like on the precipice of doing that. I don't know what went sideways. Something went sideways with Google, you know, and they're I don't think they're very happy with either one of each other at this point. But regardless, that was their intent, is to make it to where, like, hey, once this works, once we have our Bluetooth stack figured out, like, This is no different than it passing the exact same commands as if you plugged in a trackpad. Not that there are those out there, but, you know, the trackpad that's right on your Chromebook. For a trackpad, I think, to come out at some point and be a works with Chromebook trackpad, I think it's going to require something like that. Someone's going to have to figure that out.
Right.
But I believe like somebody like Logitech could. And I don't know like the ins and outs on this stuff either. Of like if Logitech came out with a new T651 or whatever, I don't know, or 750 or something, and it's a new, you know, works with Chromebook glass trackpad, and it's basically a regurgitated T650 with some Bluetooth stuff. I don't know how they would carry that through. I don't know if part of the certification process is them saying, yeah, we'll make sure it works with the Chromebook and we'll agree to update it X amount right. of times over X amount of years, or I don't know. Because the minute, you know, Logitech goes, hey, we didn't sell enough of those, we don't want to keep that driver set up, and now it doesn't work with Chrome OS 94, you know, like, at what point, you know, is it, because some of the stuff, SSDs and stuff, you don't have to worry about those things. But when you start talking about intricate things like trackpads and stuff like that, it'll get interesting to see how right. these things get integrated.
And that's the double-edged sword that is open source software, because you have people who, if they're willing, can make their stuff work with Chrome OS, but to gain that long-term support, it requires commitment from the manufacturers to say, hey, this works with Chrome OS, and we're going to commit to doing that. And Google's not going to allow them to brand it works with Chrome OS if they're not willing to do that. So,
yeah, and I would assume it's a certain number of years. I mean, heck, their own Chromebooks aren't forcibly updated past, what, 7-8 years at this point. So that's a whole nother conversation
yeah
we've had multiple times, but you know, it's interesting to think of how that this will play out over time.
Yeah, but I mean, the interesting thing here is from a general consumer standpoint, you know, you can most likely, if you see a thing that has a works with Chromebook sticker on it, you can grab that and it's going to work with your Chromebook. And you have to think about like the average person out there who especially during all of this pandemic, has picked up a Chromebook for the very first time, mm-hmm. and they don't know anything about it. They don't know if it's a Windows, Mac, whatever. It's just this thing that they bought. They need to know that if they walk into a Best Buy and need a dongle or whatever, or a hard drive, or an SD card, you know, that
right.
there's one that works with this thing they bought, you know,
right. and that's
I know
really
that
all
sounds
it is.
Simple. I know it sounds simple, but like that is,
but it really is. Cause you think what the Chromebook growth was like 4 times because of the pandemic. And then people need webcams and things like that. You go to the store and you buy a webcam. You want to know that it's going to work when you plug it right. in, because that's what people have come to expect with PCs, and Chrome OS should be no different.
Well, and the other thing too, like to remember is that general people get kind of locked into a way of thinking about stuff. And so for a long time, you know, you needed some assurance that this, if I buy this thing, is it even going to work on the particular device I'm using?
Right.
And I need to see a logo on there that says it will. Like, and that's why people, when they get into the Apple ecosystem, enjoy that, because they're just like, as long as I buy the Apple thing, it's fine.
It's going to work.
It's fine. I don't have to think any farther than that. And you know, people listening to this podcast right now usually aren't those people. Like tech, you know, type people are able to think and do some research. And the people that aren't into tech just aren't into tech. They use it as a tool to get something done, something else done. They don't care what the tool is. And so, you know, we have to remind ourselves of that constantly, that the general consumers, the general public, the people that walk into Best Buy and Walmart and stuff, the vast majority of them care very little about all the things we talk about here. The vast majority of them care very much about getting whatever thing it is they need to get done.
Will this do what I want it to do? And how do I buy things that work with it?
Right. Yeah. So we could sit here and, most things work with Chromebooks and all this kind of stuff. Hey, a lot of people aren't ever going to hear us talk about it or see it on the website or see anything in YouTube. So what's the better angle for this?
Yeah.
Just have a clear marking on it that just says it works with Chromebook. And even though techie people look at it and be like, of course it works with Chromebook. Like, you know, because when I first saw it, I was just kind of like, what? Yeah, it's an SD card. Like, what do you mean it works with Chromebook? But it is helpful. It's going to be helpful to end consumers and end users. And, you know, ultimately, since Chromebook growth is going up, it's only going to make sense for other manufacturers of other accessories to go, oh crap, people are buying that one instead of mine just because it's got that stupid sticker on it.
Even though mine's like,
get the sticker on ours.
Made in the exact same factory.
Right. It's the same thing.
Theirs is selling and ours isn't. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
and
interesting.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's just about, you know, consumers being able to make an easy purchase decision, I think. And,
right.
And for manufacturers, the easier they can make it, the better, right? Because yep. then they're selling more stuff. So I love the, I really like the SD card that they sent us, the SanDisk one, actually had a Chromebook on it.
Yeah.
Which was like, whoa.
Like they, went, right. they went all in. And, yeah. and that's the thing. Like, talk about a commodity. I mean, an SD card. It's an SD card. Like, you don't even look at it and think, is this going to work with my Android phone? If your Android phone still takes an SD card, you know, is it going to work with a Mac? Is it going to work? Like, most, you think most people wouldn't even consider this. Yeah. But clearly there's some consideration going on in the buying public that they saw fit to not just put a sticker, but put a whole Chromebook on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's fully branded.
I think, is it an Acer that's on there? Does it say? I don't know if it says.
I think it's just the corner of it. Just says Chromebook on it.
Generic.
Yeah. it's like, a Chromebook.
Like, we just need a generic thing to throw out here. So it's, I don't know. It's a cool program. For us and everyone listening, you might see it and be like, what the heck is this? Like, why do we have to put a sticker on something? Yeah. But for the average person, I think it could be really helpful. So let's take a quick break for an ad, and we'll come back and talk about a really, really cool pen that we... USI pen that we found this week. All right, we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. We recommend the service, and we use NordVPN because they keep your browsing secure and private on any device. Whether you're using a Chromebook, an Android device, a Mac, an iPhone, or a Windows device, NordVPN is going to protect your browsing. They also have 24/7 customer support in case you ever have any issues, and they offer a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to learn more and maybe give it a try, head over to chromeunboxed.com/Nord, N-O-R-D. Today's episode of the Chromecast is brought to you by Visor for Chromebooks. You'll want to listen to this if you use PowerSchool's student information system and have Chromebooks. Visor for Chromebooks is a Chromebook management solution, and it seamlessly integrates with the Google Admin Console and PowerSchool. With Visor for Chromebooks, you can easily see which student has which Chromebook, manage repairs, and automate processes for lost or stolen devices, such as notifying parents and remotely disabling the device. So ditch those clunky spreadsheets and do a Google search right now for Visor for Chromebooks. That's V-I-Z-O-R for Chromebooks. Alrighty, welcome back, everyone. As promised, let's dive into this USI pen that was sent to Robbie several months ago.
No, that is not true. End of
several weeks ago.
End of January. So not even a month ago.
I hate that
I overlooked it.
It was sent to him, and like January. It was just one of those things that there was probably other things going on. We were thinking about something else, and in
frankly,
the midst of that, you had an email.
A lot of emails.
Yeah.
We get a lot.
Oh, okay, man. I got real confused there. I was like, you have this pen?
No.
The email was sent to you.
Okay. And you haven't shown it
to
me yet.
I was getting ready to be so mad because this is like some Star Trek stuff.
This is tech. I love it. So
it's very cool.
It's pretty dope.
So I think the fun premise here, too, is the fact that, like, go to CES, for instance, and you walk around on the floor of CES, and you see a bunch of tech that will never get made. Let's be honest. Like, it'll never get produced. And
Robbie played ping pong against
a
robot.
Like, and it beat me.
It's
beat me
cool.
down. But, you know, a train. Yeah. Like, it's just so much stuff. Little stuff, big stuff, all kinds of stuff that you're just like, what a crazy idea. No one's ever going to pay for that. But that's just cool to see. And to me, that's some of that stuff is tech that I'm still, just as a person that likes this kind of stuff, that I'm so into.
Yeah.
And part of what we do here is kind of... distilling technical things to make it very digestible for most people, like
that's the
general
goal.
Consumers. The whole part, the whole earlier part is that's what we're talking about. Like, there's people on all ends of the spectrum. There's people that will never care anything about tech and live off the grid, and there's people like us who are like super into it and want to learn everything about it. But the vast majority of people sit in that bell curve at the top that. loosely kind of like,
that's
thing
cool.
Happened. I think I'll check it out maybe like next year.
Someone like you that's just maybe generally interested in tech, but not obsessed with tech the way that we are.
And maybe not like, generally interested. Like, again, it's just this thing that's like,
because you can not be interested in tech and then see something like in your news feed or on the news and be like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
That's interesting.
And then you dismiss it because you don't really care about tech. It was just a cool thing.
Yeah, it'll come. You'll come across it eventually if it becomes a thing. And if not, you just don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I think about it with, like, my wife was watching the show Emily in Paris on Netflix. And, you know, like, that, it's not super duper into fashion, but they talk about fashion a lot. And it reminds me how, like, out of touch with high fashion I am. Like, oh, yeah. I don't even comprehend why they do most of the things they do.
Yeah.
It doesn't take away from the fact that it's seemingly very important to the way that the entire fashion industry works, you know, but I see some of these fashion shows, like, where people walk down runways and I'm like,
what
does that have to do with what I'm wearing? Like, yeah. It doesn't even compute to me.
Yeah.
I feel like if we don't remind ourselves often, you forget that that's how the majority of people are with tech. And, like, you just think, well, I'm into this. Everybody's into this. No, they're not. They're not into this. Not the way that we are. And so because of all that, like, we deal every day with what feels sometimes a little, I don't want to say mundane, because I love Chromebooks and I love Chrome OS and I love getting geeked out about these little things that change and all that stuff. But as far as, like, cutting edge tech, like, yeah. Oh my gosh, that's a technological marvel, like, that's happening.
Breakthrough or something.
Just doesn't really, I mean, laptops just are never going to be considered that kind of thing.
Right.
You added a fingerprint scanner to a Chromebook.
Because even the latest Windows devices or whatever, when they come out with these new technologies on laptops, the technologies are not new.
No.
There are very few things that are groundbreaking on a laptop.
Like the X1 foldy thing from Lenovo.
Yeah.
That feels genuine, like, tech.
Yeah.
And it's cutting edge and not ready for most people to ever use. That kind of stuff. But we just don't see that around our sphere very often. And this is one of those things. And so it's a pen technology that UFRO, which they on their UFRO, They explain what that stands for, but they figured out a technology that allows, they've partnered with Pantone, and they've actually partnered with Lenovo as well, but they figured out a tech where you can touch the sensor to objects in the real world, and somehow or another, it picks up the Pantone color. So if you're not familiar, there's digital color spaces, and then there's Pantone color. Pantone color would be like our color board you'll see in the back of our shots and right. in videos. It's like the acclimation of the truest color that we can come up with. Like, if that's true red.
Yeah.
But we've, I guess, agreed that it's all, because everybody sees red a little bit differently. Yeah. Right. I barely see it at all.
It's measurable, though.
For the record, I'm sure that there's probably going to be someone listening to this that's been in the automobile industry or things like that. This technology is not new. The way that they are applying it is.
Right.
They have had Pantone sensors for vehicles for years. It's how they match paint when you take your car to the body shop. What they're doing with it is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of bonkers because, like, again, it's if you went to a body shop and they had the Pantone sensor and stuff like that, like, you expect that in that space. But to give a kid a pen, like, this company's even got the pen. What is it called?
Is it Picture Pages?
Yes, Picture Pages. Yeah. If you're older like us. There was a Picture Page, and it, remember Bill Cosby had this little pen, and when he drew it, as he drew, but it looks exactly like
yes.
that, and it has the sensor on it, and basically you just touch it on stuff, and the one that they have now hooks up through Bluetooth with an iOS app, and you touch it to the thing that you want. So if I want the exact black that's on this Pixelbook Go in front of me, touch it to there, start drawing in the application, and immediately, boom, it picks up. The Pantone color space, converts it to a digital color space, and tries to replicate it best as it can on the screen. Again, remember, screens vary in their sRGB gamuts and all that kind of, it may not look exactly the same, but it's pretty darn close.
It's really hard to actually, like, convert. And we dealt with
it's
this.
Almost when we, impossible,
it's almost
actually.
Impossible. When we dealt with clients in our last jobs that we had with creating logos for people and stuff and,
yes.
and branding and they're like, well, I printed this out of my printer and it looks different than on the screen, but I approved this thing that's on the screen. It's like,
yep, right.
Well, those are different.
what screen are you looking at, and what printer did you use?
Yeah.
Like the picture that is behind Joe right now. Yeah. I don't know if it's in the shot.
It is right now. Yeah.
Like it's like fuchsia.
Yeah.
That, I think I'm pretty
that
sure.
That wasn't,
right?
You and I are the wrong two people to ask about
more like a coral.
This is pushing coral.
Yeah, it's pushing to the coral spectrum. To me, it looks like you left a red shirt out on the sidewalk for about a month.
Sun washed. Or it's been sitting here and gotten just destroyed by the sun. That is not true.
The actual item that was photographed in that picture is red.
Google red.
Yeah, you can find it on... That's in one of our article videos.
Right now, on the homepage, I think there's a... when JoJo did her article, she reused that red piece is actually in...
Our last YouTube video is that thumbnail.
That same red. It's the same piece of paper that was taken
And yet
on.
They printed this, and it's very, very different.
Yes. And so we complained. Yeah. They gave us another one, and it's like... It's a darker version of Texas Longhorns orange.
Which, in their defense, this is, and I don't want to call it, they're not fly by night, but it's a giant canvas company, and they make budget canvases. Yes. And Joe's more into tattoos than I am, but we both do the tattoo thing, and red is the most expensive pigment you can buy. So if you get a discount canvas and you're expecting the red to be a true red.
No.
Yeah, they did a better job on the second one, but it was not red.
Yeah. So our first two we got were black and white.
They were not good.
So we were like,
we could have got black and white. That would have
looked like
cool.
The Pixelbook one that's hanging in there.
It does look good. But then we got this one. I was like, this is not good.
Uh-oh.
Nope. But so all that to say, colors are weird.
Yeah.
And
colors
going
from the real world to digital is just wonky. Yeah. But what they're doing here, like, I imagine
my kids...
You've
got that YouTube video. Yeah, I got this pulled up. Let's throw it up over here.
I imagine my kids messing with this. So there's an original video here where, you know, this is that huge pen you're seeing right now.
The color pillar.
That thing looks like a big Sharpie.
Oh, it's huge. But the end of it actually comes off. I'm not going to... It's a longer video.
Yeah.
The end of it comes off.
This is in your article. So for people that want to go, we'll link it and everything. Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what they have out right now. And again, it's an iOS only. It uses Bluetooth to be able to connect and talk and all that stuff. So fast forward to now, they're adding, this is using a wall top, which we've talked about them before, a wall top stylus that has the sensor on the back of it that is communicating to the computer, no Bluetooth, with just the USI protocol.
Right.
So now it's not just in a pen, which is pretty awesome, going from a body shop kind of piece of equipment to a little pen that you have in your pocket. Now it's going to a USI pen, which is a universal pen. It's open source type stuff. It's a standard across the board, you know, that anyone can use. And they're partnering with these people that make USI styluses and putting it in there and then removing even the necessary Bluetooth elements. And it's saying, hey, over what this pen does when it talks to the screen, when you just touch it on there, because the USI pens just do that. I don't think I've used a USI pen on this yet. I maybe tested it real quick. It's got a USI pen in here.
Yeah.
But I could go grab any of the ones that we have
around.
As long as it's on, touch it to the screen, and within milliseconds, it understands, like, oh, this pen's here, the screen's here, let's work together. And over those protocols that they've already created, it can now do this crazy color-grabbing stuff. So let's just take this.
This is insane. Like, was this Monday morning or Tuesday morning? I don't remember.
I think it was Monday morning.
I came in and Robbie was like, dude, you have to see this.
Maybe it's not letting me go full screen for some reason.
It's okay. But
yeah, so he touches the back.
Wow.
Boom.
Look at that.
There's your color.
He just has like a wood block type
thing.
It's
Legos.
Is it Legos?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's just grabbing the colors from Legos.
Yeah, and this is an Infinite Painter, which is a very popular app for Chromebooks. And
he's like,
Android,
oh, whoops,
so
let me make sure he touches. And you can see it's perfectly matching it back again. So he's not taking the color that he had on screen. He's Pantoning it again.
This is insane. Yeah, and this is some like different tech that is exciting.
And that's
probably why you were so excited, just because it's like, whoa, this is something different.
Here's the same thing. This one they're pointing out that, hey, we're not using Bluetooth here. This is just USI protocols and a pen.
Yeah, so
he's pulling it from his stapler.
A stapler,
and then
grabbing
it as a fill tool
to start coloring. Yeah. Crazy. This and like there's so many applications for this. I can see so many applications for this. Obviously, like kids and coloring and that sort of thing. That's cool. But for a graphic designer who wants,
I want to grab that thing off that brochure or whatever and grab that color.
Yes.
I'm sitting here working on this thing, and here's a color that I need. Let me just grab that real quick and start using it digital illustration.
Yeah, like even for kids, this is what my daughter's at this place right now where she's wanting to become really good at drawing. So she started off with the apps that kind of teach you to draw with tracing and stuff. But now we have this big collage wall in our living room that has different pieces of art and stuff like that, and she just sits and looks at things and tries to draw them as best she could, but now she can literally match the color And that's just it's mind blowing to me. It's so cool, and the applications are, like you said, with graphic design, creators, artists, all those things. Can I get like your skin tone?
I know. Potato.
just Google red potato and use that instead.
We're kidding.
We did one video. We did one video in Vegas.
Bad lighting.
Of course, like anytime you try to film in a hotel room, it's never going to look great.
We didn't have any lighting.
We didn't have any lighting. We were using
the room's lighting.
And at that time, I didn't have the understanding that I have now of colors.
That color card probably would have went a long way.
It would have.
But you know, it would have made
things much easier. But we put out this video, and both of you guys, like, mm-hmm. was that with Nick? Yeah, it was with Nick. Yeah. Yeah, both of you guys' skin tones were way off, and Robbie in particular was very red.
Very red.
Straight out of the tanning bed.
Yeah, somebody asked why I look like a red potato, so that's just stuck around.
Robbie's a red potato.
It's fun to make fun of yourself.
But yeah, I mean, anything else to say on that? I think just in general, it's just a dope technology, and I can't wait to see this roll out.
Because thinking about what it entails, because the USI tech by itself is really cool, but for it to communicate, you're taking that Pantone technology and then to communicate to the Chromebook and then communicate to the app that's running, because I'm assuming this will probably only work with certain applications out of the gate, but... I don't know how that works, but the pins literally telling the Chromebook to select a specific color in the app that's running. That there's a lot of stuff going
it's
on
a,
there.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff, and like it, some it's of exciting it, to think, just like you said, from USI. That USI is doing this, because there was a fear I had with USI that it would just be generic stylus, touch, right, pressure, and boom, that's it.
It's doing
universal, and it's all of a sudden we're already starting to see some layers built in. It's like, dang, this is incredible.
Some of this is because of the underlying tech, and I can't remember exactly how, like, when we had Peter Mueller on the podcast, like, that dude is on a different level when it comes to understanding stylus and how they work and the screens. And so, like, some of it, it was over my head. But the pin itself has a small chip in it.
So there's some computational power possible. And so these pins, actually, that sensor, I'm sure there's a little bit of silicon inside that allow it to, at least if you look at UFRO's website, like, they show, like, the sensor and what's in the pin has the ability to convert from Pantone to, and it shows multiple different things. So it's like, hey, we're able to convert this color into multiple digital color spaces, and then I guess the app can choose. And so there's some stuff going on in the pin once it gets touched to the screen that it's just basically saying signal this color kind of thing.
And it happens, you know, instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
which is the cool part to me.
Like, yeah, the question of like what apps will and won't support it and stuff, that'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. But just ultimately it's awesome to see this kind of tech happen. And they could be testing this on iOS, or they could be testing it on Windows or anything else, and they're testing it on Chromebooks.
On Chromebooks, because Chromebooks are the best.
Yeah. So, awesome.
So let's switch gears here, and let's talk about something totally different here. And I put this last probably by mistake. I shouldn't have done that, because it's one of Robbie's bugaboos, let's just say. Certain people just have certain things, you know, that they kind of latch onto. We always say, like, Dieter will even say his thing has been RCS for a long time and understanding, like, the way texting works and RCS and
understanding
all of
it, but also railing against you know, the failings of it and why, like, it could be great and it's just not great.
Right.
Here are the reasons why, and it's frustrating because it's so close to being awesome and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so it's that for Robbie, that thing for Robbie is YouTube Music. Well, just music players in general, I think, and then casting also, but like, it's this double whammy thing for you.
Yeah. It's the forced move that we had to all take, those of us that are subscribed to YouTube Music. Like, we didn't ask for Play Music to stop being a thing.
Nope. Like, never crossed my mind that I didn't want to use
Play Music. Get rid of this and give us a substitute. Like, everybody liked it. And what's crazy is now that we've kind of moved away from it and it's shut down and all that stuff, I realize how good it was.
It was fantastic.
Like, I realized that fantastic. I didn't really have any hangups. Like, the UI wasn't the best, and maybe it could have looked a little better.
There's little things that I discover, like, all the time that I'm like, ah, dang, why doesn't it do that?
Yeah.
Why doesn't it do that? The one thing I discovered recently that I told you about is a related artist.
Right.
If you click into an artist on YouTube Music and you're looking at that artist, a lot of the ways that I would discover music in the past with good old Play Music was scrolling down to the related artist. And you'd be like, oh, I've never heard of this person. Let's check them out. Boom. Right. You find a new artist.
Right. Google has algorithms to do such things.
There is nothing of the sort on YouTube
Music.
Right.
Which they've done that to a degree with the MyMix stuff, but there's no granular control there. I want to be able to say, hey, this specific person, I like them. Show me more stuff.
Yeah.
And you just don't have
it. And you can get through, like, you could stop your mix in any specific spot and click on the little, you know, artist and get to their stuff and then start a radio or something. Yeah. But it's not like this clear laid out thing. Oh, you like this? Here's some other artists you might like. Like, that was the thing. Play Music had that up top. Like, new stuff this week of stuff that you might be interested in. I found so much music there, and that's just not a thing. And that's weird because it's YouTube property. Like, why wouldn't it do this?
It's all about related stuff.
Right. Getting you to the next thing. And, like, I don't know. And it's little shortcomings like that are aggravating. But also, I was so aggravated with it at first. I was like, well, screw this. I'm just going to go, you know, sign up for Spotify. And I did that. And I used it for a month. And
he did it.
I was done with that pretty quick. Because it's got its own set of dumb things that it does. And, like, the casting would just stop randomly all the time, and I didn't like the fact that it tries to force you into shuffle mode constantly. Even I'm paying for a subscription. Yeah. Like, stop. Why can't I just play the thing?
And the default is shuffle.
It wants to shuffle everything and playlist this and play. Like, I like queuing up a couple albums and playing them, and nope. You know, so all of them come with their caveats. They all do. And so that's what kind of got me back to YouTube Music. Like, you know, I'm paying for YouTube Premium, and I've gone ad-free on YouTube in the paid subscription model for long enough that I don't want to not have it anymore. So I'm sticking with that. So if I'm doing that, I get YouTube Music with that. So I might as well use it, you know. So that's a terrible reason to use a service, but it's there, you know. Yeah. And so anyway, you know, the web player's gotten better, you know, and they just launched their PWA this week. And so they've got a bit of a confusing thing going on. If you go to the Play Store on a Chromebook, you know, like with Google News, Twitter, YouTube TV, I think, is that all of them? I think there might be one more I'm forgetting. If you go to the Play Store and you go to install those apps, it installs, doesn't tell you anything, and it just automatically puts the PWA in there for you. And for good reason. Like, the Google News PWA is awesome. Like, I'd much rather use that than the Android app is always weird. It had all this white space on the sides and this little bitty column in the center, and it clearly was made for phones and not for a large screen. And the PWA is awesome. It's laid out well. If you go to news.google.com, that's what it looks like. It's just in its own little wrapper. And so that's fine. And YouTube TV, the web app, is great. Those services don't require Twitter as well. Those services don't require a downloaded thing. So you don't need to download anything from YouTube TV to watch it. You don't need to download anything from Google News to read the news. It's all online. If you're not online, you don't have it. And so YouTube now comes with, if you search YouTube Music in the Play Store, what you come up with is YouTube Music, the Android app. And then underneath that, you come up with, no, you actually don't. It doesn't show. I forgot about that. It doesn't even show up. So you have to search YouTube Music for Chromebook, and then you'll see it. And so I didn't even think
about
that.
Let's make it super easy. Right. Typical Google here.
I didn't even think about that. When I was just like, cool, they did the PWA thing, and it does. Like, it goes through the Play Store, it installs via the Play Store, it installs the web app, and it works just like it worked before. It comes with some benefits, you know, like, used to YouTube Music would sign me out when I would like switch channels in YouTube. It would just sign me off. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like,
right.
Just because I have it open over here and not over here, it wants, because it's a YouTube property, I guess, as soon as I switched to the Chrome Unboxed account, my music would stop, and like, and I'd have a pop up, you switched accounts. And I'm like, it doesn't do that anymore with the PWA, which is nice. But it's still super weird. And I didn't even think about it that a general Chromebook user opens a Chromebook, goes, hey, I need the YouTube Music app, types YouTube Music. Because of the downloaded structure of YouTube Music, you want that offline music listening. Well, they haven't figured that out quite yet with the web, DRM and all that kind of stuff. They just haven't got their heads around how to make that work with a web app. So in order to keep, you know, people happy and let them still have offline music, they still have the Android app up there so that people can use that. But again, general consumers don't know that. They're not going to know to go and search blah, blah, blah for Chromebook, because the other examples I mentioned earlier just do that thing automatically. But well, they can't do that thing automatically because they can't have offline access. And so it's like, now you've created a more confusing solution to the issue here. What they really need to do is just fix the abilities, and then just when Chromebook users search for YouTube Music, they get the PWA, like just like these other services. Thankfully, Google reached out. Somebody from YouTube Music reached out and said, hey, you know, we saw that you guys were upset about this stuff. Let me let you know, we are working on Chromecast support, and we are working on downloadable stuff via the web app. So it's working, or they're working on it. It's coming. It's just not there. And I'm not going to sit here and rant about a YouTube property not having cast protocol built in. It's ridiculous. It's just
you're not
ridiculous. But
whoa, he's a changed man. He's a changed man.
But this week they also nixed the Chromecast ability from the YouTube TV web app, which is the only YouTube TV app that installs on a Chromebook. So as a Chromebook user, you have no way to cast a YouTube TV instance right now. They've said they're working on both of these things. My guess is, my hope is, as they were implementing cast support for however they were going to do it on YouTube Music, they decided, you know what, we're going to do that same thing for YouTube TV. So they're pulling it, and they're going to fix both of them at the same time. They've said it's in the works, it's going to be fixed. But then they also threw in that they're working on offline content for the web app too. Yeah. No idea how they're going to do that. And honestly, they crack that nut and they allow other people to do that. Netflix, you know, HBO Max, Disney
all
Plus.
All of those are going to be able to utilize that.
Yeah, for sure.
Paramount. Don't forget Paramount.
Yeah.
Paramount. Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus. Coming soon, apparently. Yeah, so
How much money did they spend on the Super Bowl?
All
of it.
All the monies.
They don't have any money left.
Nope. Everyone, it better work.
Everyone else was like, we're not going to spend any money on the Super Bowl. They were like, we're going to spend all of our money.
They're like, this is our last pitch. If it doesn't work, you guys are all out of a job.
And like, what, there's eight spots of it? Yeah.
We'll take all eight of them.
We got the money.
I liked this.
Fun fact, that was the police department at the door. That's why I got up, just so you know.
Yikes.
Yeah. So not, okay. I don't know. They said they pinged a 911 call somewhere in this area. They don't know who it was from. So
yikes.
I don't think it was any of us.
I hope it wasn't me.
I don't think it was me. All right. Well, yeah. Anywho.
Doesn't look like I called 911.
Paramount spent all their money on Super Bowl. Yeah. Moving on.
But yeah, so you know, it looks like, you know, Google has acknowledged it publicly. They sent us even a statement to put in there. And so they're in the process of working on it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous to me that a YouTube property, I could see some other properties maybe, but you know, the fact that if I go, I'm assuming if I went to Disney Plus online, there's a cast button there, right?
Oh, for sure.
On the web player. There's a cast button on almost everything anymore. And so to tell people like, oh, you got to cast your tab. That's ridiculous. Like,
that's
not a thing. I mean, it's an okay workaround. That is not a solution to the issue.
What is this? I've gotten this thing when I cast a tab a couple times. It'll be like, do you want to use the optimized version of this? Have you seen this?
Yes. And so that's a better workaround than the standard like that. But that's a thing that's been around since, 2 years ago,
yeah.
I think. Basically, it's saying Chrome is being smart enough to realize, hey, there's a video playing. This has been optimized for casting. They just didn't integrate the cast API. So Chrome kind of does it for you.
Right.
So like Amazon Movies or Amazon Video, I think, does that. So they don't have a cast button. They have Fire TV and all that stuff. But they've made their videos castable, basically. They just haven't integrated the button API. And so when you cast from the tab, it'll say, hey, this has been optimized. Would you like to yada yada? And you'll see the screen on the device go dark when it's casting up. And you can just tell there's a quality difference because casting works in a different way than just sharing your screen up to the television. And so casting is a much more reasonable way to go about pushing content to a big screen, because it tells the device, the screen, or whatever smart thing is on the TV, you go and get
go
the content,
get this stuff.
Right.
Sign in with my credentials, go get the content, and you stream it. I'll just play, pause, fast forward.
Which is kind of brilliant, really.
It's wonderful. I mean, it really is. A lot of people don't understand the difference.
Cool, yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm going to cast this from my phone. I'm like, no, that kills resources on your phone. You can't do anything else because now any notifications that pop up on the screen. Yeah. It's killing your battery, and it's obviously going to be a degraded thing because your phone's having to download the video, you know, deal with encoding and all that kind of stuff to show it on this screen, and then re-encode it to send it over the Wi-Fi up to the screen in real time because I don't want any lag. It needs to be happening real time, and there shouldn't be any stutters. Of course there's going to be stutters. This is not a good way to go about getting content from this one to the big screen. And so casting is the proper way to go about doing this. I mean, and a lot of there's Miracast and there's all that kind of stuff. I think AirPlay even does that now. Like, I think the way AirPlay works generally now is, you know, go get the content yourself. You know, it's an Apple TV. You got a processor in there. Go fetch it. Like, you don't need my phone to be doing all this work to bring this stuff up unless there's no other solution. And so that's, so far, when people are like, well, you can cache your tab for YouTube Music, that's what you're telling me. You're telling me that that workaround,
that's the best option we have here.
That's all you need. That's all you need. And it's like, this is a YouTube property. It's a Google property. That's just not okay. And you should have figured this out before taking Google Play Music away, that, by the way, had a cast button always on it because, again, it's a YouTube or a Google property. So
I think it's even funny on the YouTube TV app, or I'm sorry, YouTube Music app on my phone, the cast button is kind of hidden. You have to tap, the album artwork, and then the little button shows up.
Yeah. And it's, why?
I'm
why
like, is it how just, many,
why
how
isn't
many,
it present all
how
the
many
time?
People just never find that? It's not clear. And like, why not just put it up in the top corner or something?
Like Google Play Music had it right there, front and center. Yeah. YouTube has it right there, front
makes
and center.
Makes no sense to me.
It just doesn't make any sense, so, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was actually a short rant, Robbie. Good job. Yeah,
I tried not to rant at all.
That was a fairly short rant.
I just couldn't stop myself.
So, yeah, I mean, anything else you want to say on that? I think it's a bit of a hodgepodge.
To know. I just want to see.
Okay.
Here, well, click WandaVision.
Hold on, I can...
Is there a new... Oh, there's a new work? Episode today.
Oh, yeah, here we go. So I've got your screen pulled up here on our video. Boom. Oh, you're seeing if you've got...
You're trying to see if there's a cast DRM button. Check there. Oh, look, a cast button. Boom, top right corner, top right where you would expect it to be.
I don't want us to get in trouble.
So yeah. Sorry. It's okay.
He can cut that out. That's what we do.
Yeah, I'll just cut it out. No, it's fine.
It won't close. There it goes. It's gone. Now our Jimmy John's tracker's up there.
There you go. Nice. It's here.
It is here?
Yeah.
We had to do Jimmy John's today. So
doesn't even say it's here. Come on, Jimmy John's.
Update your stuff, man.
Come on, Jimmy John's.
But yeah, so YouTube, thanks for reaching out, whoever it was on your team that reached out. We appreciate it, and thanks for clarifying. But we still need you to just get it done and fix
and
it.
And we love you. Yeah. We do. We love you.
That's the promise.
Thing. We root for Google products.
Absolutely.
Which is why things like this are so frustrating, because it's something that was never an issue on a previous product that we didn't ask you to get rid of.
That was removed for not a good reason.
All the good bits and pieces of Google Play Music should have already been implemented.
Right, before you killed
before it. Before you ever even launched YouTube Music.
Did they ever give any sort of explanation as to why Play Music went away? Just wanted to transition it to a YouTube thing?
I think they wanted to just
free up Google Play Music servers for Stadia.
Yeah, I think just think the idea was, hey, media in general, it looks like it's shifting to a YouTube type thing. So if it's a streaming media thing from Google, it's going to fall under YouTube TV, it's YouTube, and it's YouTube Music. And
I get it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. And
because the whole Play thing never made sense anyway. Like Playbooks. No.
Like, because Google Play Movies is going away. Yeah. I'm ready for, why don't they just transition to Google Books? Like, Playbooks is weird. Google Play is probably, honestly, Michael will hear this and be like, yes, this is Michael's thing, that Google Play will eventually just go away. That we'll just have Google whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Google TV, Google Books, Google whatever. The Google Store will then implement, like in his mind, it becomes the Google Store right now is a place to buy hardware, but the Google Store could be a place where there's hardware and apps. Like, it's not the Play Store anymore. It's just the Google Store.
Right.
Because those apps now work on Chromebooks.
Yeah, integrated Android apps, PWAs.
I could see that. And it's Google, all this stuff. And then there's, you know, their streaming stuff is under YouTube.
And some of the naming on Android has been fun too, because they put Google in front of some things, and then other ones they didn't. It seems like they've gotten to, like, Google Pay now is Google Pay,
right? But it was Android Pay.
It was Android. It was G-Pay. Like GPay for a while. It's like, where are my? I just want my apps.
It was
just
Google like, Google Pay Send.
Let's make 8 different apps that all do basically the same thing. Yeah. Classic.
They need to come out with a new platform called Google Plus.
That would be fascinating, Gabe. If it was like,
what's it going to be though? It can't be what it was.
Yeah,
it
just it can't.
I know where Joe was getting ready to go. Joe was getting ready to go to snarky sarcasm.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Like, what if it be like?
What if
instead
what if
of
it was
groups,
a new
it was
type of
circles?
Ooh. Yeah, something like that. Jeez.
I miss Google
Jeez.
Plus too.
Mm. Yeah, Google Plus was cool. Yeah.
That
was
it's still around, sort of.
Yeah, sure it is.
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah. All right. Well. Ending on a bit of a downer here. Sorry, folks.
Here, let's finish on a high note.
It's not a downer. YouTube music is getting better.
It is. There you go.
Let's finish on a high note. We haven't officially welcomed Joanna Romero.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, there you go.
As a contributor to Chrome Unboxed.
Yeah, you've probably...
She's got 2 articles. She'll have another one going out today.
Yeah, if you've been on the site, you've probably seen her posting. We're really excited to have her as a contributing writer and hope that this year we engage some more people like that and have some more people contributing, you know, people that are as passionate about this stuff as we are, and Joanna definitely fits that bill. And so it's been really cool. I mean, I love the content she's putting out already, and I think she's excited about it, which is what, I mean, that's what got us where we're at, you know, being passionate about this thing and being excited about it. And so we don't want to have like freelance writers on our site that are just writing to make a quick buck. Like we want people that are as passionate about this stuff as
invested into the same things that we.
Yeah, it's not just another beat, you know. It's not just like, oh, I'm a tech writer, I write for 4 different publications, and oh, I gotta switch gears over here.
Right.
I don't know, maybe one day we'll do that sort of stuff, but for right now, you know, we're still a very small team, and definitely, like I said, want to grow that team a little bit this year. But having people like Joanna on is really exciting to me. I think
it's been really good.
That's kind of the next evolution for us, which is just really exciting. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, from a reader's perspective, you're getting you're getting a new perspective, perspective. I mean, with a new contributor, you're getting a different. You're getting a different opinion. You're getting a different perspective on things from someone who is passionate. Like, you're not just getting a perspective from somebody who's regurgitating some stuff.
Well,
like, and she has her own opinions about these things because she cares about them, which is cool.
And she's involved with them from a professional standpoint, too.
Correct.
She does IT stuff and what was the company?
Perry Ellis.
Perry Ellis, yeah. So she does. So she's the one handing out Chromebooks to workers that sometimes love them and sometimes hate them,
and she has
dealing
to.
With the back-end administrative
she
stuff.
She has to explain some of that stuff. Yeah. And so she comes from kind of a support side of things, which I think will be a great perspective to have on the site.
Yep.
And we've talked with her about, you know, covering some of those kind of how-to things and tutorial things. And so, yeah, there you go. Good. There we go. We ended strong.
Positive note.
We ended strong. All right, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. We appreciate you all listening, and we're going to link everything like normal, and we'll catch you guys next week. See ya. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. You can find show notes over at chromeunbox.com/podcast. And if you want to stay up to date with everything that's happening in the world of Chrome and Chrome OS, make sure to check out our website, chromeunbox.com, and follow us on social media by searching for @ChromeUnboxed. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.